The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, in just under 6 hours, Donald Trump will have become just the second US president to serve non-consecutive terms when he's sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. If the first number of days of his first presidency are anything to go by, this could be a very, very busy week indeed. So what can we expect? Well, to tell us, we're joined in studio by Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin, by Lorcan Nyhan, head of training at the Communications Clinic and columnist for the Sunday Independent, and Patty Shields of Democrats Abroad Ireland. But first of all, to set the mood, we want to play a little clip from the Trump victory rally last night. No sign of J.D. Vance, but who was there? One Elon Musk.
We will create the new Department of Government Efficiency, headed by a gentleman named Elon Musk, who's here someplace. I don't know where the hell he is. Did you see his rocket yesterday? It was captured. And X is with him. X.
Say a couple of words. Thank you, Mr. President. So we're looking forward to making a lot of changes, and you know this victory is the start, really. What matters going forward is to actually make significant changes, cement those changes, and set the foundation for America to be strong for a century, for centuries, forever. So.
Now, I watched his rocket come down about 3 months ago, and I thought it was crashing. I was talking to somebody on the phone. By the way, same thing happened yesterday. It came down, and it was captured so beautifully. It came down, it's tumbling, it's a mess, it's going down. I say, oh, look at that thing, that's a disaster. And all of a sudden, those two big arms came and hugged it like you would hug your little baby. And that sucker landed it. Nobody's been able to do that but him.
So there's a flavor of what is to come over the next 4 years. A little bit of a very hesitant Elon Musk and a lot of braggadocio from Donald Trump. Scott Lucas, I mean, he's Mr. Showbiz.
Oh, look, this is a reality TV president, as well as a convicted felon and a convicted fraudster and a convicted defamer in a sexual assault case, lest we forget, who has built himself on image and illusion. Remember that this is a man who suffered 6 bankruptcies, and that what saved his career was reality TV, first as the You're Fired dentist, and then as a star for 2 years in the World Wrestling Federation. And then when social media came along, he built himself up on Twitter, and he whipped up the illusion and the spectacle. And here we are now in 2025, when there are some very real issues that we will be discussing here, like the economy, immigration, healthcare, foreign policy, but it's still the image and the spectacle. So now he has Elon Musk to create and build that spectacle, whereas the reality, I'll give you a stinger out of the image that came out of that. There is no Department of Government Efficiency. It's not a department. It's a group of advisors, one of whom, Vivek Ramaswamy, has already left. And the reality is, however, is that Trump will sign an executive order probably today which will remove job protections from thousands of federal employees for 2 reasons. One is he wants revenge for what happened in 2020, 2021, when he failed to hold power then. And two, he and his inner circle want to take control of American agencies and bend them to his will.
It's an extraordinary unfolding story. Patty, what do you make of him? You know the old line, you can fool some of the people some of the time, you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you're never going to fool all of the people all of the time. And obviously, Trump did get the majority of the popular vote by 1.9% or something like that, which means that almost half of the American electorate were not fooled by Trump.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you compare today versus when he was first elected in 2016, and there was a very visible presence of resistance, and it's much quieter today, and the weather is definitely not conducive to large marches anyway. I think people are sitting back because I think they want to see the wave that's coming. I mean, they understand that his command of the media has been very strong and absolute. And even the staged saving of TikTok yesterday, you know, just brings him to the headline as, I'm your savior for this and your savior for that. I think for Democrats, you know, there are a number of people who've publicly said they weren't attending today. I think there's going to be time to see what these 100, 200 executive orders are that are going to be flowing through. And really, you know, where Democrats have an opportunity to hold him to account on the issues and the topics that he kind of won the media, you know, soundbite race on in this election, the margin of victory was not that big. It's the smallest House majority of a leading party in recent memory, if not, you know, my lifetime.
What you're saying is
there's an opportunity.
A few fractures within the Republican Party gives the Democrats, if they are unified, a majority to thwart him in the House.
Absolutely.
In the Senate, still has a majority.
Still has a way to go, but you need both to pass legislation. But again, I think where illusion meets reality is, you know, he has basically set him up as, you know, the savior of a lot of issues that we're facing, the American economy, American jobs, you know, food inflation being one of them, which I'm sure we'll touch on, you know, and his remedy for that could exacerbate the problem. And I think that provides opportunity.
Lorcan, the question of what will happen. I mean, people expect prices to tumble almost straight away. We don't know what's going to happen with the tariffs. But I mean, I was in Mexico recently visiting a BMW factory there, and I saw the amount of spare parts manufacture and component manufacture that happens in Mexico that grows across the border into the United States. If tariff goes on that material, the price of American cars made in America with Mexican components goes through the roof. Mm. I mean, there seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding.
There is like probably a fundamental misunderstanding. Look, in general, people don't understand economics that well. And then particularly they don't understand tariffs because tariffs haven't been, you know, a note of conversation in economics for quite some time. So he's bringing them back. Look, there's a lot of different elements coming on at the moment. Trump, for the most part, with the 100 plus executive actions he's going to bring through, is effectively going to be doing what he said he was going to do. So, you know, talk about fooling the people most of the time. In this election, Trump was quite clear what he's going to do, and he's following through. You know, he wasn't hiding the mass deportations. He talked about them consistently, wasn't hiding the tariffs. You know, you talked there about the federal employees. They wrote down the plan around, you know, Schedule F, which is what they will use for that to bring it through. So people do know what's coming. Maybe what they might, you know, be right or wrong about, we'll see, is the result of those. And what has ultimately happened, which I think is going to be interesting to see how the Democrats can deal with it, is since Trump's victory, there's kind of been a total shift culturally in America where people have just decided they're done now with what they will want to define as woke, however we define that, which means that any protest now based on the action will just be seen as the Democrats doubling down on what people are already done with. Mm. You can't protest because that's just woke once again. So they have to wait for the impact of the actions. I assume they will never say this. The Democrats will hope the impact of those actions
the Democrats,
is negative.
I mean, the midterms are, you know, 2 years away, less than 2 years away. So they've got to change their message, don't they?
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of introspection about that. I think, you know, running on ideology definitely did not serve the Democratic Party well, and getting back to the grassroots issues and being part of the communities that they represent. I went knocking doors at the end of October in North Carolina and was meeting face-to-face the frustration of voters with the Democratic Party.
I mean, the
Party.
Idea that ordinary working Americans, you know, who are on the average industrial wage should be voting for a billionaire rather than a historic blue-collar Democrat.
Yeah, and again, it was kind of the mastery of message, wrap it in a flag, you know, associate it with the Bible, and people were responding to that versus, you know, and Democrats were kind of diverting more towards ideology versus kitchen table issues, and that's how they lost the election.
It was very interesting what the outgoing Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said during testifying on the Hill on May the 15th, and this is maybe the Democrats could have learned from this. She said, what Trump is saying is, I want to protect you from competition with the tariffs. I have a very different view. We're going to compete. We're going to outcompete. We're going to win. There's no better than American workers. No one more innovative than American entrepreneurs. No one more creative than American companies. I mean, there was a ready-made message for the Democrats, but they weren't listening at the time.
No, I think they were pushing a different message, and you know, they had a very short time to rally around a candidate, but they did not get to the issues that really mattered. And all the exit polling said Democrats lost, mainly on the economy.
Okay, now, Scott, Trump 2.0, you expect that before the day is out, several executive orders will be signed.
Well, I think we're talking about scores of executive orders. The question is how much is for show and how much is for substance. So let's tick off a few areas that we could possibly discuss. There's going to be a series of executive orders to curb the rights of migrants and asylum seekers. So it won't be millions who are deported immediately. But what you're going to do is you're going to cut their ability to be able to use due process of law to challenge a deportation when it occurs. First deportations, Trump folks are signaling, will start tomorrow. Possibly Chicago, possibly Miami, possibly agricultural areas. So you get those sweeps, and Trump's saying, all right, this is the enemy within. We're getting rid of them.
Now these people, he'd like to characterize them all as criminals and so on, but they're not. They're probably people working possibly illegally, but within the American economy, earning a dollar and keeping vital services going, whether it's, you know, watering the lawns of wealthy people in nice suburban estates or whether it's harvesting crops for farmers.
There are 11 to 12 million undocumented immigrants. And an undocumented is a better word than illegal for reasons they can get into. They haven't been found guilty of a crime, although they crossed into the United States. Many of them have not only worked in the United States, they now have families in the United States. They've got kids in school. They are parts of communities. They're not recent crossovers necessarily across the border. This has been a running issue in America for decades. And what has happened up to now is that periodically people have said, look, these people are in America. Ronald Reagan had an amnesty. Barack Obama had an amnesty. These people are integrated. The Trump approach is different in that this is going to be his punching bag, all of these people, that even if you can't deport millions of them immediately, he will maintain them as being the reason why the economy isn't doing well or why society is fractured, even though, and I'm sure both of y'all can speak to this, Lorcan and Patty, many of these people are in jobs that would not necessarily be filled by Americans immediately. So there will be an economic cost to the deportations in the short term rather than the long term.
Lorcan?
Well, I think one of the things that we're going to see, I mean, you know, people a lot of time talk about the Trump and Musk dynamic. Again, in the run-up to the election, when you talk about all the efficiency in the department or not department of, again, Musk was relatively clear that this was going to harm and hurt America for 18 months to 2 years, and then it would get better. So he is happy enough, I think, with the idea that hurt and harm is coming, that the economy is going to have an impact, that people are going to feel hurt to this, because he thinks you need to do this, and then we will come out of it. I wonder how happy Trump will be if there is 18 months to 2 years of bad stories of the economy not going well, of him, of his image, his brand as a winner, as a deal maker, not working and not running forward. Now, on the flip side of that, we talk about, well, you know, he's not going to get prices to go down. And of course he won't. You know, prices don't deflate. But Trump's genius consistently is he can impose his own reality onto the minds of his voters and his people. If he tells them it is getting better, they may believe it.
Joe Biden was trying to tell people that things were getting better. But they went to the grocery store and they saw what they used to buy for $150 was costing them $250. And Trump can't hide that either. You know, if it's still tried to blame Biden and say, oh, it's all Biden's fault, you're still paying this. Is that his
ploy? I'll throw something out and see if Patty and Laura can respond to this. He's going to blame the Federal Reserve. Now, most people here may not even know what the Federal Reserve is. This is the independent, basically, keepers of fiscal and monetary policy in the United States. They set interest rates. Early in his first term in office, Donald Trump fell out with the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, who's on a fixed term until 2026. He cannot be replaced. What the Trumpists signaled last year is they want to politicize the Federal Reserve and put their own person in or set up an alternative agency. So if inflation doesn't come down, if interest rates don't come down quickly enough for Trump, then they divert, blame someone else, make that person the target. I suspect that fight with the Federal Reserve will come sooner rather than later.
Except when you're explaining you're losing. I mean, Trump may try to... He as the incumbent, the buck will stop at his desk if prices don't come down.
But he'll line up a lot of people to take the fall before he does. The question is how much he can keep the illusion going.
I should ask you, Lorcan, about, is he going to try and get at the media, the late-night hosts that he despises who make fun of him? Is he going to interfere with, say, the license of ABC to broadcast?
Well, he has certainly threatened doing that. He has also, though, said everybody wants to be friends with me now in the media, be much more friendly to me since the election. So I think, I mean, the general response in America has been to just, right, he won, bend the knee, let's play to his ego a little bit. So I wonder will be there'll be a little bit more of that. I think if you look at it from a wider issue, though, I mean, I don't think any conversation around the media is overly useful to understanding what happened within the election, because the election was primarily decided by people who don't pay attention to the news, who don't pay attention to politics. It's that group that either didn't vote or broke for Trump. So it's an attention battle, not a media battle.
Patty?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's been remarkable to see, you know, Disney, Bob Iger, you know, pay $1 million and, you know, bend the knee to him. And I think he knows he's in this position right now. So, you know, again, until we see the reaction or the effects of some of these policies and this kind of rhetoric coming through, I think it's going to be relatively quiet until there's something to grab
Scott?
I have a slightly different view. I think along with the damage to the American political system, I think we've now got a broken media system that goes far beyond Elon Musk. Mark Zuckerberg of Meta, your Facebook, your Instagram, whatever, has effectively capitulated, ending all responsible moderation across his platforms. Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, but also the Washington Post, has broken that newspaper where he's got resignations from his editorial team, his chief cartoonist, because of effectively censorship to please Trump. New York Times has been a much different newspaper in the last couple of years in terms of trying not to offend Trump that takes place. Where can you go to a reliable news outlet in the United States now that isn't, and it's not a question of it being captured by the liberal woke establishment. You're talking about a media which is effectively curbing its ability to report independently, and most importantly, curbing the ability to provide information and separate out disinformation because they're scared of offending the new occupant of the White House.
Finally, I should ask you all, I mean, are you worried or you think this will all work out?
Look, I think from Irish perspective here, we just need to slightly reframe our relationship with the United States. And I think we've realised, and I include the Biden presidency within that, in that actually we don't have a shared value system. We don't have a shared understanding with America. So I think we need to stop maybe getting so emotionally engaged with what's happening in the various states in America and what's happening, and try to look at it a bit more dispassionately and kind of say, right, what's the impact on foreign policy in Europe? What's the impact on the Irish economy in that way? I don't think that impact is going to be good. And I think there's a degree of Europe's going to have to become much, much more self-sufficient and stop kind of relying on America to lead people
Patty.
Through things.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, Lorcan. I think taking the emotion out of it, the opportunity really for Democrats, and I think, you know, the counter to the popcorn show that Trump is launching today is really focusing on the agenda, the issues, knowing that the midterms are just in 2 years, and using that as an opportunity to wrestle some power back.
Scott?
This is not the country where I was born and raised. This is not the country living up, at least at the top level, to the values of opportunity, but importantly, decency, tolerance, and respect. However you want to characterize the men at the top, what they are effectively doing is breaking a system and deliberately breaking a system. And we'll try to break it over here, by the way. And what they're doing is trying to deny rights, to deny justice, to deny the protection. Donald Trump and those around him, like Elon Musk, are president and effective unelected co-president for themselves, not for Americans. It is the most serious threat in peacetime to the American system in 250 years.
Scott Lucas, thank you very much. And thanks to Patty Shields of Democrats Abroad and Lorcan Nyhan, head of training at the Communications Clinic, columnist for the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.